proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. With me is a returning guest in this small business spotlight. His name is Chris Sentens. And Chris, up until just a little bit ago, had two businesses in one location. It was Christopher's Fine Jewelry and Christopher's Rare Coins, and they were both on Merle Hay Road in Des Moines. But recently, all that has changed. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Why and where and all of those things. Chris, good to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you.
How you been, man?
Oh, great. Busy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be retired, but it's not working out.
I was going to say, you know, you're younger than I am. Everybody's younger than I am, as a matter of fact. But you're younger than I am. And I would have thought that you would have said, hey, you know, it's time for me to play golf or, you know, do something.
Well, yeah, I've pretty much involved in other things. I mean, I still obviously own the two businesses, but I started a portable trade showcase business a few years ago.
What?
Yeah, portable trade showcase business.
So tell me about this.
I've been doing coin shows
for years.
Decades.
Yeah, right.
And there's a showcase that has been the standard in the industry forever, and not just in coins, but it, you know, for antique shows and gem shows and gun shows and everything. Everybody has used the same display case. So about 18 years ago, I came up with a different design for a showcase just for me to use. And then I've had so much interest in it. And so when I so-called retired a few years ago, I thought I'm going to try to tackle this beast and manufacture these, improve the design and so forth. So now it's kind of become an all-consuming project for me.
The mother of necessity, right?
Right.
So tell me, what's the name of that company?
It's Crystal Clear Showcases.
Crystal Clear Showcases.
C-H-R-I-S-T-A-L.
We will have links up for that as well. I mean, we might as well cover everything here, right? Anything else I don't know about?
Oh, I don't know. I've got quite a few rental properties that I manage, so I've been doing that for a while.
How long have you been in the jewelry? Which came first, the coins or the jewelry?
The first thing was the coins.
Yeah. And then that transitioned into Christopher's Fine Jewelry.
Correct.
And how long have these two entities been around?
Well, I opened up my coin shop almost 40 years ago, be April 1st, 1980.
What are you, 10?
No, 21.
All right.
And so I was just doing just the coin thing. And at that time, we were coming off of a gold and silver boom like we had about 7-8 years ago here.
The gold guys, I'll never forget them.
You're right, yep. Right? And but people were, even though we'd come off of that boom, people were still, you know, wanting to sell their old silverware and their old gold jewelry and coins and that kind of thing. So I didn't really know that much about jewelry, but so I kind of started basically just learning by doing you know, started to develop a lot of customers that, you know, wanted to come in and buy, you know, the pre-owned jewelry that I had. And I had a good local source for having that refurbished. And the short story of it, that's how the jewelry end of it started.
So pawn shops are one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't a pawn shop, were you?
No. Pawn shop, I mean, they buy also from the
sure.
public. But their main thing is making loans on those things.
Right. And so you were just outright buying.
Correct.
Okay. And so you had the coin business and the jewelry business rolling, and you're traveling all over the country doing these shows and things. And recently, you made the decision to separate those two businesses as far as geography.
Right.
What are you doing?
Well, initially, a lot of my jewelry customers came from my coin customers.
Okay.
And so you know, after a while, of course, you know, we had, you know, customers that were independent of the coin business. And so, but we just kept them, the two businesses in the same building for a long time. And we, but over time we knew that someday there would come a time where we would completely separate them. And
this makes sense. I mean, just demographically.
Right.
Because the as your customers got older, or maybe they moved out of the geographical location where you were on Merle Hay Road, that started to become a necessity, I would imagine.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah.
And so I guess it just made sense for the coins to come here in Johnston. We love the location here. This area fits our needs in the coin department. And the jewelry, we're going to be moving there in just a few weeks. We're a little bit behind because our showcase has got delayed. But I will guarantee you it will be the premier jewelry store in the region.
And you're going out to the Jordan Creek area, which ain't necessarily cheap rent.
No, it's not. But, you know, I want to, I guess I want to stress that, you know, we started out with pretty humble beginnings.
Yes.
And my philosophy has always been, I want to be your hometown jeweler in the city.
Right.
And that philosophy has never changed, even though, you know, I think sometimes people think, well, he's moving into this big fancy place and, you know, it's going to be different now. Well, no, the only thing different is the building. It's going to be everything in there is going to be fabulous. But as far as our business philosophy, with the quality of our jewelry, how we treat our customers, and carrying unique items that customers aren't going to find in other stores, that hasn't changed and never will.
Let me ask you a question about this. This is an interesting philosophy that's going on out there, and I have this discussion all the time. You know, there are a number of corporate jewelers out there,
right?
And they are generally stuck in these malls that are dying.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And so they're fleeing, you know, finding other places or going online or whatever they happen to be doing. I don't know. However, you're striking out in a pretty high rent district, given, but it's also the shopping mecca of central Iowa and much of Iowa, as a matter of fact, because it's a destination. How is it that an independent, locally owned jewelry store can thrive in not only this economy, but also against some of these corporate giants out there?
Well, the jewelry business is unique in that, you know, a lot of the big box stores of, let's say, other product, like department stores, you know, and that kind of thing, you know, they deal in a lot of what I call finite items, where a pair of 505 blue jeans at this store is going to be the same as it is this store. And in the jewelry business, a lot of the national chains, they are kind of relegated for local stores to get the product, the jewelry here that the corporate office in L.A. or New York says they should have.
Sure.
Because that's what they're selling everywhere.
Everywhere
right.
else. But if you don't want that stuff.
Right. See, being an independent in the jewelry business is unique to trying to for a, you know, Al down the street to have his hardware store and compete with Menards. That's a tough nut to crack right there. But we have, you know, we have our pulse on what our customers want. And so those are the things that we keep in stock. And we develop long-time relationships with our customers. You know, when a customer comes in the door, the person that's waiting on that customer, the first thing on their mind is not, well, I need to make a sale so I can get paid on Friday.
Right.
And the first thing on our salesperson's mind is, what can I do for that customer today? What kind of engagement ring or a gift, an anniversary gift, can this customer walk away with to where they're going to go out and tell all their friends? Then they're going to pass that jewelry down to their kids, and their kids will become our customers. We're in the long-term relationship business.
Sure you are.
We're in the malls. You know, they're not all of them, but a lot of stores in the malls, and the traffic is dying in a lot of malls, but their main business model is, okay, we've got 10,000 people walking by the front of our store every day.
Yep.
And so it's a percentage game.
Sure it is.
And so, you know, if that customer buys something that down the road they may not be that happy with, or, you know, they just didn't make get the right item, they don't care because the next guy's coming around.
It's all percentages. It's all numbers.
Right.
I got it totally. And it's kind of, I would suspect, because you talked a little bit about the uniqueness, it's kind of like everything's the same.
Right.
I mean, if you go to a ABC jewelry store mm-hmm. over at this mall, and on ABC, it's the same
right.
stuff, basically.
All yep.
right. Chris Sengins, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about not only the jewelry business, but also Christopher's rare coins. So let's go back to coins for a minute.
Okay.
That's your passion, isn't it?
Well, that's how I started out. I started collecting coins when I was a kid. I was going to flea markets and small coin shows when I was in high school, and it's always been a passion of mine, and after all these years, it still is.
Yeah. Okay. So how – because I get the jewelry business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there's a manufacturing process, there is a markup, there is all those kinds of things. And I understand, retail's retail, so to speak. How do you make money in coins?
Well, obviously we have to know what they're worth,
yeah, really?
You know.
Yeah.
And it's sort of complex. You know, we buy coins from people, we buy coin collections, we buy estates, that kind of thing.
Sure.
That's a pretty big source for the coins that we do buy. And of course, we're buying them at a wholesale level. And then, but one thing that's unique about the coin business is that having the customers come in and buy a coin out of our case isn't our only avenue to sell coins.
Right.
We do a lot of coin shows, and you know, I know coin dealers from all over the country. So, you know, plus we're on a wholesale coin Facebook group that has about 1,500 people on there. There's coins trading on that Facebook page almost every minute of every day. It's fascinating.
You just took the word out of my mouth. Fascinating. Who are these collectors? Are they investors, or are they both?
On the Facebook page, or
no. Well, just the whole coin thing.
Yeah, it's both. The collector market is a little bit tough right now. It's been that way for a few years. But you know, there's collectors. There are people that invest in coins. There's the coin market cycles over different periods of time. So there's a lot of things in coins right now that are incredibly cheap.
So tell us a little, give us a range. You know, you got a lot of stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, full disclosure, I'm at Christopher's Rare Coins in Johnston. We'll have links to all of this up on the radio blog. But so when I walked into your store, I mean, you got case after case after case after case of coins.
Right.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a range of what these things cost. I mean, generally.
Well, yeah, we try to cater to everybody. If a parent comes in here with his 10-year-old kid and the kid wants to start collecting coins, we're all about that. We've got, you know, coins that kid can buy for a couple bucks, 5, 10, 20 bucks, or even less. And we've got all the coin collecting supplies to help them get started. We have to keep the youth interested in the hobby. It's hard to do today with all the sports and distractions and all that
right.
kind of thing. And so, but there again, if, you know, we have somebody wants to come in, and we do a lot of precious metals business, gold, silver, platinum. If somebody wants to come in and drop big money on a gold buy, there's no deal that's there's no deal too small, no deal too large for us.
I'll be darned. Sure. Yeah, I was a coin collector when
mm-hmm.
I was a kid. I mean, I think everybody, back when I was growing up, most of my friends collected and swapped coins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little blue books,
you
know. That
That's how I started.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, and I still got them, as a matter of fact.
Right.
I still have those. But it was a really interesting thing to do, to be able to say, oh, hey, I've got that.
Right.
And you don't have
right.
that.
Yep.
It was kind of a contest.
Right. You had your own little coin club going, so to speak.
So to speak.
Yep. Without... Same thing with baseball cards. You know, kids traded baseball cards back and forth. And I mean, I hate to use the term back then, but back then there was no internet. Most kids had hobbies.
Yeah.
You know, they were collecting. I collected butterflies, rocks, coins, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And and there again, chances are you had a buddy or some buddies that were doing the same thing.
Sure.
So we get together at each other's house and kind of look at each other's coins and trade them. And so it kind of kept the, you know, the hobby flowing and so forth. Plus a lot of people got started collecting coins when they had paper routes. And so, sure. So a lot of times kids
got
paid with silver coins, and some kids knew enough that, hey, these are worth a little bit more than face value, right. So they kept them, then they started putting them in their books. And
right. So I'm with you. That's exactly what I was doing. What about coin shops and collectors in the state of Iowa? Are there many coin shops out here?
There's not many, no. Des Moines has a total of 3 coin shops.
Yeah.
And Cedar Rapids is obviously smaller than Des Moines. I think they have 4.
Really?
But in general, it's not a large cross-section of the population that's interested in coins.
So your market is kind of expansive. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily just people in central Iowa, but
right.
Wherever.
Yeah, we do a lot of, quite a few trade shows, and there's and interestingly enough, at the trade shows, that we go to, probably 80 to 90% of the business that happens is between dealers.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So it's this dealer might have something. Hey, I got a customer for that, and then it's common practice to give that dealer some kind of a break so he can come out and everybody's happy.
How has the internet impacted your business? Do you sell things online?
We do a little bit, not too much. We don't have like a store, so to speak, that we have constant
sure.
inventory on, but because it's very labor intensive. But there's a ton of people that buy coins online that really don't know what they're doing.
Well, I would imagine. I mean, you also have to take a look and see what it is that you're buying, right?
Yeah, if you don't really know what you're doing, you're fair game.
Yeah,
there is a zillion people out there, unfortunately, that are out there to take advantage of somebody. Because the general public doesn't know enough about it. So, we get collections now and then where, but it's easy for people to buy stuff on the internet.
Oh, sure.
And so we get estates coming in once in a while where, Uncle Joe bought all these coins online and they
think that they're worth
they
a
come
bazillion
in pretty
dollars.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
And with the internet thing too, unfortunately, counterfeiting is a big problem, and there's so much stuff coming from China that's counterfeit, and not just in coins, but Rolex watches, all that kind of thing. So, it all gets back to you really got to know and trust who you're dealing
buyer
doing
beware.
Business with,
yeah.
And so, but once somebody buys a coin online that ends up being counterfeit. That person's done collecting.
Done collecting, because they've been burned.
Yeah, ruined that customer.
Wow.
So,
his name is Chris Sungens, ladies and gentlemen. 2 locations now, one in Johnston, Iowa, and one in West Des Moines, Iowa, at Jordan Creek. And so we'll be anxious to come over and see your new shop over there.
It's going to be fabulous.
Guaranteed, right?
Guaranteed.
Chris, thanks for doing this with us.
You bet. Thanks, Michael.
Once again, that was Chris Sungens. He's got 3 things going on. He's got Christopher's Fine Jewelry. He's got Christopher's Rare Coins and also Crystal Clear Showcases. We will have links to all of that up on our radio blog. Hey, if you've got a business out there that you think ought to be in our small business spotlight, hit us up on Twitter. We are at IOB_NewsHour. For all of us that puts together this newscast each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Aaron Libby is in charge of sales and marketing. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett exclusively for the Business News Hour. For all those folks and for Chris Sungens, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.